This is an interview with Dave Nakagawa, a former Terminal Islander, conducted by Sherna Berger-Gluck with the assistance of Young In Kim. This interview is being conducted some 26 years after the initial interview conducted with Nakagawa as part of the Asian American Studies class. Because of his good memory and physical condition, and valuable insights into the Terminal Island community and both the sound problem and poor quality of the interview, of the initial interview, it was decided to try to interview him yet once again. The date is November 7th, 2001, and he's being interviewed in his home in Temple City, California. What I'd like to start with is I have a lot of questions about, some about your mother, but a lot about your father. Do you know when he came to the United States?
That's hard to say. All we call is that what he had mentioned, that he got off that boy, time has flown, so I can't tell which boat he came on or where he landed. But he was telling me that he, at the beginning, worked on the railroad, I think, for a while. But then, through the years, his first love was fishing, right, where he came from, Wakayama came, a place called Wabuka. And they mentioned about the Terminal Island being built. It wasn't an island, it became an island.
So he had heard about it in Japan, or when he was here already?
I think he was here already, but through the process of different communication, he heard about Terminal Island. And so he was one of the pioneers to get things started. And the first boat that he had was a French name of La Belle. It was a small boat, but he was able to corral all the Wakayamakan fishermen to be the crew. And then from there, they were fishing for sardines, then mackerels, and then it graduated into tuna fishing. And so after he made his small fortune in the beginning part, he was one of the first to think about building a tuna boat. And so when he had all the supporters that would be the main gist of finally deciding on the boat, they were able to contact the state of
Well, I think you told me last time that they built the boat in Washington?
Washington. State of Washington, that's right. And so, when the boat was finally completed, he was asked to come back and bring a small crew to turn the boat to Terminal Island, which he did.
Now, were you already born?
Yes.
When he got that bill?
Yes.
You were
this? I was about a junior high school age then.
So it was probably in about mid-1930s then?
Yes, I would say that.
Now, how did he afford to buy the first boat?
I think either he bought it or was leased to him by the cannery. Uh-huh. That's how I get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So each cannery had different boats. And so the canneries built the houses, wooden houses, belonging to certain canneries. And so we were near the ferry that will go across to San Pedro.
Now, what do you remember what street you were on?
113D Cannery Street.
Cannery Street, okay. Let's see, I just turned around. Here's Fish Harbor. Okay, so near Tuna Street or towards the other end?
It's the other end.
So over where, down this way?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, when you were born and when you were young, is that the house you were in?
Yes.
Or were those old, earlier
No.
wooden houses still there?
The one that the cannery had built, that's the place where I stayed all through.
And what I was curious about was, does that mean that your father and each of the fishermen had to contract with one cannery?
At that
because
time.
Because if they were living in the cannery, the house of that particular cannery,
mm-hmm.
then I imagine they couldn't then sell their fish to another cannery.
That's right, only to that cannery.
And did anyone ever change and then move?
Yeah, there were some who moved, but then they had to leave the house, go to the cannery over there.
And what cannery was it that your father sold to? Do you remember?
Is it Southern California? Southern California. Gee.
Well, that's good enough. I'll be able to find it if it's Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you think he came to Terminal Island and was...
That,
had that first boat.
Then I would have no idea of the year that he's been here.
But you don't, for instance, you were born in 1921.
Yes.
Had he been there a while already?
Yes.
And then your mother came directly to Terminal Island?
Yes, that's right. She came directly to Terminal Island as a young bride.
Now, was she a picture bride?
No. They were from the same prefecture.
Uh-huh.
So she was about, I think, 18 or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so he had actually fished in Wakayamakan.
Yes.
and in the piece that you wrote, you said that you were surprised by how good his English was.
That's right.
Why do you think it was so good? What accounted for that?
Because there, in the island, among the Issei, no one spoke English.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad, he was able to converse with different people. So I was kind of amazed, where did he learn how to speak English? And he never divulged where he...
Is it possible he first worked as a...
houseboy?
As a houseboy?
It could be. But how would he learn the English, the language, to converse?
Because I know that a lot of the men who came over as houseboys then actually came to study and did learn English fairly well.
Mm.
Huh.
That's right.
He never talked about that.
He never talked about it.
Oh, okay. Now, so the LaBelle was his first boat.
Yes.
That he was on. And how big a crew was on that one, do you know?
There were about 10 or 11.
And then the tuna boats are much bigger, aren't they?
Much bigger.
Now, I read that there was a law passed that the captains of tuna clippers had to be citizens.
Yes.
So how did he handle that?
He had one of the older Nisei who were from the same prefecture be the main captain.
And did your dad own the boat fully, or did the cannery own a piece of it? Do you know?
It could be the cannery may have owned something, but he had quite a few supporters who had an investment in that thing.
And they were the people who also worked on the boat?
Yes.
So how many people worked on this big boat then?
About maybe 12 to 14.
Do you remember the boat coming, being brought down?
Yes.
From Washington? Can you tell me about that?
Well, it was quite an occasion because all the, most of the Terminal Island people came to the wharf, you know. And then when the three-star came in, they toot the horn. And they were amazed at the big boat because pretty hard to find in those days. So it was quite an occasion.
And was there a celebration of some sort?
I'm sure there, I can't remember what, but I'm sure there must have been celebration. Oh. Lala sake.
Because I read somewhere that very often when someone had a new boat, they would take it to Catalina Island and there'd be a big party. But since this came down from Washington, they'd already tested it, I guess.
Oh, yes. They must have.
When you said, you mentioned before that your dad, let me backtrack a little bit, the bamboo poles.
Mm-hmm.
That was for the smaller fish that they used the bamboo poles?
No, that... See, they had two type of fishing, purse seine, with the net that goes around, I take it. And then they introduced this bamboo pole where smaller tuna, well, a single pole. But when it gets to be larger, two or three men with one line.
Oh.
So that as they would lure the tuna and it hits it, then all three or two men would jerk the thing at one time. And when you look at the tuna fishing with the pole, it's just like raining tuna from the side of the place.
Well, so a whole group of them would be lined up there?
That's right.
Lined
up on the deck.
Uh-huh.
And they had a ramp that goes down. And then they would all get on the ramp. At the size, at the same level with the water.
Oh.
Because you see, what they do is they would chum the anchovies. And then the tuna would be in a frenzy and they would snap at anything. And so all 12 or 14 men would be hauling in tuna so that from the side it's like it's raining tuna. So, and then you may have wondered, how do you attract the tuna? Well, we always have a mastman, you know, who way up in the crow nest. And he would scan the ocean. And there are two types of way they do it. When they're looking for tuna, when they see the birds going down, they were coming, getting the small fish. And usually there's tuna underneath those things. So we would, he would direct the captain to go to that place. The other time, when there's a whole tons of tuna banded together in the ocean, it becomes a brownish reddish hue. So among the clear blue ocean, you see the spot. That's where he directs the captain to go. And then as the boat comes around, there's a man who chums the thing out there. And then as he chums it, the tuna would be coming, and their mouth would be wide open. And then they would just haul it in.
Now, so the ramp would be lowered from the boat, and they would just be at the water level.
It would be at the water level.
Huh.
And another way they spotted tuna was when they see dolphins jumping over and circling around. Mm-hmm. And underneath the dolphin, the skewer tuna is over there. The same way they would chum it and bring it in.
And did they ever catch a dolphin by accident?
Not by the... During the purse seiners would find a dolphins in the tent. Oh. But with the hook and line singer, we didn't hook the dolphin at all.
Now, when did they give up the poles and just do purse seining? Or did they do both at the same time?
Let's see. There were a time that they used the purse seine. And then there were some time they would have, depends on where the boat would head out. If it's near the local, well, it would be more purse seine. Mm. But when you go out to, in the Mexican Manzanillo or way out, they would have purse seine, hook and line.
Oh, now how did you learn all this?
Because after summer school time, when it's finished, I would go on the boat.
Oh.
And let's see, when I became high school age, they would give me a quarter share. just to be there, because I wasn't a fisherman, but I used to fish with them.
What was your with the bamboo pole?
Yes.
But for big tuna?
Yes.
Oh.
And among the crew members, we would choose which one going to work together.
Oh.
And by that time, when I was in high school, I was quite big by then.
Oh, right, you did all that.
Yeah,
weightlifting.
So I was able to be with the other fishermen without any trouble.
Oh.
So that's how I got to learn how all these things came about.
And when, it was when your father got the tuna clipper that he started with tuna. Up until then it was the sardines and mackerel?
Yes.
And once they switched to tuna, did they have to, is that when they started going down to Mexico, or
yes,
did they go down earlier?
When it came down to the tuna, it was mostly in Mexico.
So how long would they be gone in a stretch?
Between from either a month or 2 months.
Oh.
Because, one of the crew members is a cook. Uh-huh. That will cook for full time for the. So that's how it was.
And did you go on those long trips during the summer?
Yes.
Oh.
I didn't go too much time, but once in a while I was able to go.
Now, you said your brother worked on the boat with your dad?
Yes. He was groomed to be the captain.
Oh.
You see? Because once he graduated from high school, why, he worked full time with the father, with school father. So he was worked full time.
Oh, okay. Well, before we get to other things, let me ask you some more about the fishing part of it.
Sure.
And the canneries. You said that your father was the got involved in the Fishermen's Association.
That's right.
And what? How did? Do you know more about that? What role he played?
I don't know too much about it, but the Fishermen's Association, they all got together to discuss the problems of the fishing industry, the prices and all that. And as an association, they were able to have some power. And 1 year, I think he was the president of that thing.
Oh.
But apart from that, I wouldn't know what went on.
Did you ever hear stories about, apparently, in 1923 and 1925, they struck because the cannery was trying to cut the prices.
Oh, I think that's that's part of the agenda, that they had to band together to have that ability to cooperate with them and come to an agreement.
So they must, did they reach agreements, the same agreement with all the canneries then?
Yes. Because all the Channel Islanders were all in one together. So they made a decision why that entailed all the other canneries as well.
Oh. Now, was the Tenjin Kai, was that the Fishermen's Association?
Tenjin Kai.
Your dad, who apparently was involved in that, from what you wrote. And I didn't know if that was the Fishermen's Association or if that was something else.
There was a organization, I guess turned on an organization, that involved the welfare of the people. So that could have been.
Okay. Because in this piece that you wrote, when you talk about him being one of the first people that was picked up, that he was the president of Kenjin Kai.
I see.
And he served as the primary spokesman for the community.
Yes.
So that was like the Japanese Association or something.
That's right.
Do you recall anything about that group? And what he did there?
I have no idea.
Okay. Now, what happened, and then we'll then get to some other things, but I thought it might be better to just go talk more about your father's fishing part. When his boat was confiscated, when he was arrested, was the boat confiscated right away? Do you know?
As I recall, most of the boats were laid to rest during that period, so that the fishermen were out of work, stayed home, and that was about it.
And did he get any money for his boat, do you know?
I doubt very much. That's one of the tragedies,
right.
Really.
One of the many.
And he had that brand new net, and that cost money, and that was lost.
Well, did the canneries just take the boats over? Do you know what happened to the boats?
I really don't know what happened to the boats. But I surmise that they must have leased it out, to different. So that's the area that. Very murky.
Right. Okay. Well, but still, you remember a lot of details about the fishing.
Yes. since I went fishing.
Right. because I don't think most of the Nisei talk, in most of the interviews I've seen, they don't know that much about the fishing part of it.
You can see, since I was the son of the owner, that I was able to go on the boat.
Yeah.
And mingle with the fishermen.
Now, do you know anything about your mother's background?
Mother's background is very sketchy.
Oh.
I was able to visit Japan about 4 years ago and visit Mom's birthplace.
Oh.
And they used to tell me that she was the youngest out of all the daughters that they had. And that the mother had cried when she had to leave to go come to America, see? And so, apart from that, why, she was just a young bride. And in that island, like I said, it was a Baptist mission.
Mm-hmm.
And the minister at that time was Reverend Ito.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Ito was the one that brought all these young brides to the church to get them to understand the way of the American living. And the process why she was converted to becoming a Christian.
So she was already a Christian when you were born?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes, you know, wait a minute. I'm sure she was already a Christian, yeah.
Oh. Well, when was your brother born? How much older was he than you?
He was 3 years older than I was.
Oh, okay. Mm. So he would be born in 1918.
Yes, around there.
Around there. And so she... Well, that helps me figure out when your dad came, because if she was 18 years old... Say he was born 1918. Say she came in 1917. So he must have been there already.
He must have
for
been
a while.
There. Yeah.
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 So he was part of the early group.
That's right.
Now, the house that you grew up in, is this the house that they were in from the beginning? Do you know?
He was with the Southern California, I don't know what that name was. They had the house already built.
Mm-hmm.
So but from the very beginning, all I can remember was the same, the one house that I lived.
Oh. Can you describe the house? Do you remember it?
Well, it's a bungalow, mm-hmm. You know, it's a wooden bungalow with partitions. There's a kitchen and three spaces and a parlor. So we made the most of it.
And the
bath, it would be called the furo.
Mm-hmm.
The cannery had made the, what is it? What kind of a, what do you call those? Not a wooden.
Oh, it was metal then?
It was metal, but what do you... Anyway, it was more of a, like a square, you know.
Oh.
And then on the bottom, you put the wooden slats.
Mm-hmm.
Because underneath, from the outside, we would use a wooden thing to boil the water.
Now, where was the bath? In between two houses?
No, each house had a bath.
Oh.
So, that means that we as young boys had to scrounge for wood. And nearby was the longshoreman area. Lots of wood that we used to go and pick up.
Oh.
And every time we find anything, why, we make sure to bring it home. Because they make it easy for us to fire up the... So that's how... And then Like in Japan, I guess, you know, they have this little small pail.
Mm-hmm.
You scoop up the water and you wash yourself mm-hmm. first before you go in. So typical Japanese style that we would do that.
And was it outside, though? Or?
No, it was inside.
But we
had to feed the bath from the outside.
Oh.
So it was all part of the house.
Oh. Huh. All this time I thought it must be outside since there was fire had to be made.
The fire was, there's a hole that goes into there and you just feed the wood into it.
Oh, and then the tub just sat on, right